Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Right, so we were talking about the South Africa Jewish Report being, in inverted commas, expelled from the South African Press Council. And the backstory is that there was a cartoon published around Clover, about Israel's involvement in Clover. The cartoon featured a very fat man basically exploiting workers and eating money. It was published by the BDS, who has a very spotty reputation as far as anti-Semitism is concerned. In fact, it's being kind to say that it is spotty. The Jewish Report called it anti-Semitic. The BDS took them to the Press Council without a hearing. The Press Council decided that it was not anti-Semitic, despite many international opinions that it was and that it is. And they asked the Jewish Report to apologize to BDS for calling it anti-Semitic. The BDS tried to engage with the Press Council. They refused. This went on for some time. And then the Jewish Report said, well, then they cannot be part of this organization. And they withdrew. They resigned their membership more than 6 months ago. And then, over the weekend or on Friday, the Press Council issued a statement expelling the Jewish Report from the council. That is the story. That is factually what happened. Whether they should have, whether the Jewish Report should have apologized because they were a member, is one question. Whether the Press Council should have engaged is a completely another. What does it mean that they won't? What does it mean that they are deciding who should be offended by what? Surely the Jewish community themselves speaks to what is offensive. Imagine telling somebody that they have no right, they had no right. Imagine telling a black person that they had no right to be offended by that Zara advert featuring a young black kid in a t-shirt alluding to monkeys in the jungle. Imagine saying to them, well, that's just a monkey. Or saying, well, no, it's not really a monkey, it's a gorilla, so you don't need to be offended. Isn't that a little bit strange? William Bird is the Director of Media Monitoring Africa. William, good morning. Thanks for joining us. It's not an easy conversation and it's not an easy topic. But, you know, we also try to get the Press Council onto the show to give them a voice. Senna called them more than 26 times and until I told her that it's harassment and she needs to stop doing that. But they refused. They have refused to engage and talk. They refused to chat to the Jewish Report. They refused to chat to us. How do we have these important conversations without having a conversation?
Well, that seems to be a really disappointing development. You know, I think that the best way of working through things like this is by having, you know, deep and proper and appropriate conversations with the various different parties. You know, so I think that is seemingly quite a extraordinary response not to want to engage and discuss issues. I guess on the surface of it, though, and not having gone through all of the papers, etc., the sense I get is that there's the Press Council, and we know this because we've engaged with them on a few occasions and with the BCCSA and other self-regulatory, co-regulatory bodies, is that you have to abide by their rules. It's part of signing on to what it means to be part of those that process. And in return for that, you get a whole lot of benefits. You don't have to spend a lot of money going to court. You don't have to go through those drawn-out processes. Things theoretically should be resolved in a quick and easy and fair manner. If you're not happy with the initial outcome, you then appeal. And I'm not sure if an appeal was lodged.
It was.
And depending on what happens with that appeal, you can then say, okay, thank you, and depending on their own processes, you can then lodge another appeal to that, or what you can do ultimately is take the decision of the Press Council on review to the High Court. So I know that that's an option that we've exercised in a matter with the Broadcast Complaints Commission, where we've taken one of their cases on review to the High Court, but I guess part of it is making sure that you have to abide by the process. So for them to have got to the stage where they've said they're expelling the Jewish Report, and for the Jewish Report to have said we've actually resigned some months ago, you know, obviously it suggests a breakdown in relations, and that's really not a good thing, because it's not, that ultimately doesn't serve anyone's interest. You know, it doesn't help us deal with the issue at hand. It doesn't help the press council resolve issues more effectively. It doesn't help the Jewish reports resolve issues more effectively. And so I think that's ultimately what we need to see is the parties coming together and trying to find some constructive way of engaging and resolving and addressing the concerns that the different sides have.
What is strange is that the council is completely voluntary. You don't have to be a member of it. And the fact that the Jewish Report will no longer be a member will not have any real impact on them whatsoever. They weren't a member until a few years ago, and then they decided that it could be a good thing to do, and they joined. The fact that this is voluntary, and that they have found themselves to be totally unheard and unable to put a case forward. In fact, there was no hearing, according to Howard Saxton, who's chairman of the South African Jewish Report. Now, he was on our show because he agreed. We wanted to have both parties, not on at the same time, but give them, because, you know, sometimes that doesn't necessarily work, but at least to give both parties the opportunity to talk about what happened. In the absence of the South African Press Council taking up that opportunity, we have only one side particularly to go on. But according to Howard Saxton, they did not have a hearing. They could not present the case. They could not present why they found this particular cartoon to be offensive. And that was obviously a problem. They made a ruling without the Jewish Report's input.
So look, in normal practice, you know, there's nothing particularly unusual about that, right? So the way the Press Council's process works is that they've got a person who deals with public complaints, and in many instances, people will say, oh, you got this wrong, my name's incorrect, but you said I work for such and such a company and I don't.
Mm.
And they will quickly and easily mediate all of that, resolve it, get something done without having to have a formal hearing process, right? So there's nothing inherently wrong with deciding things on written submissions by various parties. Where obviously there is a likelihood of either contestation or concern, or they say that there's bigger issues at stake, usually the Press Council would then say, okay, we're going to have a hearing on this and let the parties decide. But irrespective of that, they should be providing, you know, clear written reasons as to why they made the decision that they did, and then they would have to then, you know, if you wanted to appeal that, they could. And I think you said that they did appeal.
Mm.
Don't know what the outcome of that.
No, I don't think there was very little engagement, from what I understand, is that the council didn't really engage much on it. There was countless letters sent to them. They tried to engage, and there just wasn't. Maybe it speaks to inefficiency. Maybe it speaks to the fact that they aren't managing their own organization. But it was a very, very strange set of circumstances that led to this point. And my concern is that within a week or so, it becomes completely irrelevant to the Jewish Report, to their readers, to their advertisers, that they aren't a member. But ultimately, this does erode the credibility of an organization that we desperately need to be credible, and we need to be transparent, and we need to function within the realm of the Constitution.
Oh, sure. You know, I fully support that view, especially given that it is important that the Press Council has that credibility. But I think it's also clearly to the detriment of the Jewish Report not to be a participant and a member of that process for precisely the same reasons. You know, if you don't have that, what that does is it encourages government to then say, oh, well, look, yeah, these people can't even agree. We're going to engage in that. So in as much as it is a harm to the Press Council, it is also clearly a harm to the Jewish Report not to be a participant in that, because it also, you know, at the moment now, from if you don't know anything more about this and you read the Press Council
absolutely
statement,
100%.
Your impression is that this is about the fact that another entity has been expelled, and currently the Jewish Report now sits in the company of IOL, which is not where they really want to be located.
Absolutely.
So I think, as I said again, you know, without knowing all of the ins and outs of this particular case, it sounds like there's a need for the parties to try and sit down
and real mediation,
work something out.
We just need both parties to be able to engage. William Bird, thank you as always for making yourself available. William Bird is the director of Media Monitoring Africa.